Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
It's the Movies Hate You show! Speaking of the guys, this is the Movies Hate You Peanut Gallery. Todd Sheets, our producer, he collects all the news stories that we're going to talk about this week.
I do.
Right, Todd, did you? Are we live? Are we on the air?
We are.
Oh, I thought we were just horsing around, man. I'm just kidding. I know we're live, man. I'm always on, bro. I'm here for the people.
I'm kind of frightened.
I'm here for the people. Although no people have taken up the challenge for 5 free DVDs, courtesy of our sponsor, bmovie.com, to rewrite our description on the Jackalope homepage. Did you know we're on iTunes?
I did.
Are you sure?
Yes, because I'm the one that put us there.
Oh.
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Oh. Well, you know what I'm forgetting, Todd? With us tonight, as usual, is, I guess, our official... Is he a co-host or a sidekick?
He's a co-host, man.
He's a co-host? Well, then his name doesn't go up on there. He could be replaced. His name's not up on the show. My name's up on the show.
He's awesome.
Mr. Lee Peterson's with us, the star of Star Wars Episode 2. How you doing?
I was actually left on the cutting room floor.
Oh, no, I thought you... Those two, like... green Asians that were talking. I thought you were one of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know...
Well, no. There were three of them, right? And you were cut out? Is that what you're saying?
No, you know what? I'll just get a table at a convention, and I'll say that I was one of those guys.
Why not? Everyone else does. I've always wanted to go to one of those conventions and be like, I was Jason in part 5. Can you prove that you were Jason in part 5?
Well,
I'm
right.
As much Jason in part 5 as you were Jason in part 5. I mean, or you could just go in the costume and say, I'm Jason in part 7.
Well, there was some controversy over that. The guy who was credited as being Jason in part 2, Warrington Gillette, apparently didn't do very much in the film. But he was willing to accept the credit, definitely, and then he started doing conventions. He started doing autograph shows.
Was he the one we ran into at Fango who was...
He was trying to sell it on a pyramid scheme or something.
Yeah, exactly! That was him! That was him,
that's
right?
That's him. He's a very nice guy. He's a nice
guy. Because you're on the air, you're saying that. Because you're on the air. Stop.
He is a nice guy. He was very, very charming. My son met him, and he was very charming and warm to my son, but the guy who actually played Jason in that movie, he claimed, saw that Warrington was going to all these conventions and getting all this acclaim, and he said, wait a sec, I played Jason. They fired this guy after 2 days because he couldn't do the job, so he started doing conventions. So now you've got two guys who both claim that they were Jason in the movie, and I just don't want to see them together because I think there's lots of bad blood. Anyway, I digressed with Jason.
This is one of those like fanboy controversies that really, really, with everything that's going on in the world. In fact, anything that's ever going on in the world at any point in time always takes second back seat to these kind of controversies, don't they? I mean, who really cares? If you can get away with going to a convention and sitting at a table and saying you're somebody you're not, who cares? It's funny.
Yeah.
I think it's funny. I mean, you're not getting my $25 either way, because I find it really distasteful and quite pathetic. So I think it's funny. But I guess there are really, you know, hardcore fans who can be taken advantage of.
I guess. I mean, technically, he's not misrepresenting. I mean, he was in Jason. I mean, he was in Friday the 13th Part 2. He definitely was. There's no question about that.
He's on screen.
He's on screen, but the other guy claims that he's only, like, in two shots, or, like, he's in the one scene at the end where he crashes through the window, like, the sort of stinger where he crashes
yeah.
through. That apparently...
Well, for anyone who hasn't seen it, thank you, Mr. Ree.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, when Jason dies. Spoiler alert.
Right, Jason. Wait, the spoil. You're supposed to say spoiler alert before.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah.
That's like that Walking Dead spoiler that got you.
I'm steaming about that. But in 2 weeks, it'll be forgotten.
I have some
spoiler information about next week's Walking Dead, and I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but it was
You mean about tonight's Walking Dead?
Tonight's Walking Dead.
Yes.
Yeah, Sunday. Where do I get that?
We don't compete with Walking Dead, do we, Todd? No wonder. Oh, that's not good.
Yeah,
Did you put us up against Walking Dead, man? he's got nothing to say.
Not much on this.
Did you put us up against Walking Dead, Todd?
No, not on purpose.
It's at 9 p.m. on the East Coast, so it's 8 p.m. your time, right? Or is it 3 hours later?
Yeah, you're right.
And then on the West Coast, we're up against The Walking Dead in some markets. Nobody's going to listen to this show.
Dude.
I got an idea. We're going to change the format right here. We're going to call this show The Talking Dead. And we're going to talk about The Walking Dead.
Uh-huh.
What do you think of that, guys, huh?
Boy, that's original.
It's clever, isn't it? Get it? Talking Dead. We're going to talk about the dead, about the show.
That's just clever.
Cool. So how do we want to start it?
Thought of that.
What's that?
I can't believe no one's ever thought of that.
Well, because, you know, that's why AMC should hire me.
Yeah, but it's actually not the same time, because 9 o'clock is when Comic Book Men come on, which is kind of similar to this show.
No. 9 o'clock, wait a minute.
9
no,
o'clock not... my time. See, that's central time, so your show's on at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
So you're covered.
We're on 10 p.m.
We are? I thought we were on at 9. Hey, why was there music on this past Sunday when I tuned in?
When? What time?
While doing it. And then poor Brute Force, too. They had metal playing the whole show.
What are you talking about?
Oh, the last airing.
Did you listen at 10 p.m. Eastern? Apparently not.
I did.
I don't think you did.
No, I did. I did.
That sucker played, so I don't know.
Ronnie James Dio and stuff, man. I didn't play any Ronnie James Dio.
Probably not, but I don't know about the Brute Squad, but I know you aired, because I have the numbers.
Oh, yeah? Oh, you have to share them with me off air, because I don't want to be embarrassed.
No problem.
75,000, maybe? you could fudge them on the air and then tell me the truth off air. Listen, if you do want to win 5 DVDs of my choice, and I promise they will all be crap B-movies... They will be sealed. I won't watch them and then send them to you because I don't like them. You can write movieshateyou@gmail.com and help us rewrite our weak show introduction on the Jackalope page. If you scroll down, if you go to the shows, I know you visit Jackalope all the time, because I do, and Mr. Reed does.
Oh, yes.
No, jackalope, I said, Mr. Reed. Yeah. Go down, look at our show description. It talks about me. Rewrite it. Be as creative as you want. And the winner will be read on the air. We will change it for 2 weeks. It will be that description, as long as it doesn't have any profanity, right, Todd?
Exactly.
And you will get 5 DVDs courtesy of our sponsor, the Movies Hate You sponsor, bmovie.com. And if you haven't gone there, you need to go there. And just buy something. Buy like a $4 DVD. Something to show them that you support Jackalope. And you support the Movies Hate You show, because that's what the station really needs. Even beyond this show can go away. There's 50 other shows that need your support. If you start supporting the sponsors that support these shows, Todd can become rich.
Jeez.
And get a new car.
I don't know about all that. Just paying the bills is good.
Yeah, but you know, you got to make a living, man. You don't want to, you know, have to keep struggling. I mean, you want to get into that 1%. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think I do.
You want to be a master of industry. It's okay. This is America. It's okay to have those aspirations, man. The people will help you if you're honest with them. A little transparency never hurt.
I see. Okay, then.
Mr. Ree, on the other hand, is very happy to be in the 99%.
Very, yeah. I'm in the 110%.
110%.
Oh yeah.
How does that work?
Well, ever since high school, I think it was my high school gym teacher that really impressed upon me the importance of giving 110% in everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took that to heart. And so I guess I'm actually part of the 109%.
I don't think you understand what we're talking about.
Oh, okay. Sorry. No, I was doing something else.
As usual, do you even have any movie reviews?
Movie reviews?
You know, you come on and you review DVDs for us.
Oh, yeah.
Forget you. Let me tell you something. There's a movie right now available at bmovie.com or probably other places, but damn it, support us. It's called Bong of the Dead. Has anyone seen this?
I saw it at the store, but I didn't watch it yet because
it's amazing. It's amazing.
I didn't know if it would be good or not.
No, it's great. It's great. I mean, it just goes to show you what can be done with today's equipment and post-production software by one person. I mean, it's great. It's great. It will be heralded as time goes on. I'm telling you, what store did you see it at?
Family Video.
Family Video, yes. Yes, Family Video. Same place you got Pork Chop, right?
Unfortunately.
Oh, Pork Chop. Poor Pork Chop. You know, that guy's laughing to the bank with Pork Chop.
Yeah, just maybe when they make a sequel, up the ante of gore and maybe make less people. I'm at that point now where if I put the movie in and it starts with people in a car, I'm done, because I'm tired of every movie beginning with people on a road trip and people. Am I the only one that's tired of it? I mean, every single horror movie, almost it seems, independent horror movie, has got a group of people in a freaking car. I'm like, what is going on here?
It's stupid. I agree.
They're driving
with you, man.
They're camping. I'm like, I don't want to see this driving around anymore.
I agree with you, man.
I'm done.
I agree with you.
I'm done with the car rides.
I am too.
All right.
I agree with you. I'm with you. No, totally. Now, wait, was it Zombie Bloodbath 2? They're in a car in the start of it?
Never happened, man. Never happened. I had a car ride, but you never saw it.
I'm kidding.
Damn it. Damn car rides.
I would love for a movie where people just go to work one morning and a horror movie unfolds at their job or something. You know,
that's the kind of stuff I like. Just something that's not driving around. Here we are driving, and we're going to talk about stupid crap for 15 minutes of the movie.
It's called character development.
Whatever. Then they get there, and then we got to have more people walking around in the woods. Can you get any cheaper than that, people? That half the time they're not even doing stuff at night. It's just daytime crap. Man, I got to tell you, if you can't buy a light and stick it in the woods. Don't make a movie. I'm done.
So you're discouraging filmmakers.
It's not that discouraging. Go to Walmart. Pick up those damn construction lights for $17 and stick them in the damn woods. Jesus.
That's true. Those are pretty cheap. I have a couple.
I know, and it's like, dude, you know, those are great fill lights. Of course, you don't want to light your main scene with those, but those are perfect for, like, lighting the trees around the people. I mean, god dang. Throw a blue gel on it. Get a job in a sideshow.
Now, what about Mano's Hands of Fate? And that's got, like, the first 15 minutes of that movie are them driving around and not talking and... Right?
Manos is his own case, man. I wouldn't even bring Manos into the debate because that's just it's its own little blip in cinema history. It exists in its own reality. Yeah, you could say that, but Todd's right. All this stuff, people on their. I would love to see a movie open people on a boat going somewhere and talking instead of in the car. That's how much it's done. He's right.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And you can look at, I mean, even like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that's how that begins and how. And
well, that's where Evil Dead, that's where everyone's getting this from. It's like, it's so derivative. We've touched on this on the show before. Everything is so derivative. The horror movie business is a vacuum, it's a stale. Dust-filled vacuum
of poop, of
crud. It really is. It really is. And there are very few filmmakers trying new things. Everything's a variation on that. Seriously, Bong of the Dead is not like that. I have to say, you should go out and get Bong of the Dead. In fact, if you don't want to buy Bong of the Dead as a DVD, you can go. It's on VOD on like cable systems. Like it's like you can go home and like down, you know, get it for $3 or whatever your cable system charges to watch these things. It's available in millions of homes on VOD.
Now this isn't related to the Killer Bong movies, right? With Tommy Chong?
No, this has nothing to do with it. This is like zombies, weed.
Well, that's my problem. At first, I thought it was a Killer Bong movie, and I was
post-apocalyptic.
Like, oh,
yeah, no, there were two of those, I believe.
They were not very good. No offense to Tommy.
Well, that's a. What are you playing back there, Dio? What am I hearing?
I don't know. What are you hearing? Oh, that's my machine. Sorry,
I'm hearing like Hell Bent for Leather or something.
that's awesome.
Are you hosting? Producing two shows at the same time again?
The other show's streaming something, but I'm not producing two shows at the same time.
Okay. All right. Good. So no, Bong of the Dead is like post-apocalyptic, it's gory, the texture of the film is very cool, man. It just has a nice surrealistic feel to it, and you know, I like when people start to take chances visually with stuff. Something that probably could have, you know, sold a few copies if they didn't go that far with it. Just, you know, a lot of the stuff is sold on concept, being, you know, running a small label. A little bit of insight in how these things are picked and who picks them and stuff. And it's not always, hey, I made a great movie and everybody ought to love it. Sometimes the great movies just don't generate any interest for whatever reason. So it's, you know, it's a lot, you know, it's a good concept. It's gonna sell to the demographic. And that demographic right there for that movie is like 18 to 30, really. You know, we're too old for that movie, but we can still enjoy it. As proven that the old man, Todd Sheets, was interested in it at Family Video.
How am I going to be called an old man?
Well, you're not 18 to 30.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm still, I still have that young demographic in my head.
No, I'm saying we're the exception to the demographic.
Well, we are. We are the exception to that rule.
Somebody doesn't set out to make the movie Bong of the Dead and hope that like 40-year-olds buy it. You know, they're thinking like, oh yeah, 18-year-old kids sitting around in their dorm room smoking joints are going to pop this in.
They're going to love it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the guys making movies for our demographic, it's like, oh, we're going to make a movie about these two guys that take a wine trip and like have a, you know, stream of consciousness decision about like the women they're going to marry or something. You know what I mean? Like that. That's the kind of stuff that's supposed to be aimed at us, but you know, we're not necessarily buying it. Speaking of buying, I haven't done a VHS update for Todd Sheets lately. There's a copy of Moonchild right now for sale, used on Amazon for $30.73. And then followed by our old friend at TSC Books, who seems to have the whole Todd Sheets collection, but at the premium price of $999.98.
Jeez.
Yes. So that's if you want Moonchild. If you can spare $1,000, you'll be helping that seller out. But if you want it, really want it, and you got $30 laying around, you can grab it. Goblin's still not available.
What the hell's wrong with people today?
What?
Charging people that kind of money for a movie.
Well, it's like this. I think it has something to do with the rarity of your films. You know,
well, we got to change all that crap. I'm done
with
that.
Yeah. Let's do it, man. Come on.
You already know I'm on it.
Get on the Wild Eye train, man.
I'm on it.
Also, you know, the Shivers.
Speaking of bongs, before you get off that subject entirely, did you see today, Pat Robertson.
Yes, I saw that.
Decided that he is in favor of legalization of marijuana. Now,
yeah.
I mean, the guy's completely crazy, and yet.
Well he was crazy before he said that. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying the guy is completely crazy, but there's like a beacon of reason that somehow shot through his head. Now, where the hell did that come from? The marijuana thing
came from Jesus. Jesus smoked pot, man. Jesus smoked weed.
Do you think he has cancer or something, and he has to make a decision about medical marijuana? And
I think he has cancer from smoking weed. I think he's been smoking weed for the past 50 years.
He doesn't seem like somebody who smokes weed.
You'd be surprised who smokes weed.
True, but he doesn't seem like somebody who does anything. I don't know. It's hard to picture him doing anything recreationally.
Well, I think the preface was that the war on drugs has failed. Let's get that money out of there and put it towards something important, like, you know, I don't know, taking away women's rights or something, you know. You know, let's not fight the war on. I think what's happening now is that, and of course the right-wing Christian insaniacs who follow this guy or that whole thing have turned on him already. It's like, oh, can't believe you said this, you know. I think it's having the opposite effect. Like, it's like his own people turning on him. Like, what?
Yeah.
You're not, what? It's evil. It's the devil. The devil's in every toke. I'm telling you, there's a snake in that bong. There's a snake in that joint.
Amazing. All the things this guy has said that were absolutely crazy through the years, and this is the thing that turns people off.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't turn. I mean, us were like, yeah, welcome. You know, welcome to 2012. You know, Mr. Robertson. You know, like that's what sane people say. But like anyone who follows that kind of insane sub reality of whatever that is, I don't want to get too political on this show. It's hard not to sometimes, but. Yeah, anyone who's kind of followed that that line is kind of like, what? I mean, you know, the good thing is for them is that he said we should legalize marijuana and then outlaw and punish by death any kind of homosexual act. So I think he kind of balanced it all out in that statement.
Well, right. So there's still some things you can't smoke.
There you go. Touche, Mr. Ree, always on top of things. Look at this guy, man. You're a master. You should get your own show soon, I'm telling you.
Well, hey, it's your world, baby.
It's my world for 1 hour, if you dare listen. Do we have any listeners in Afghanistan or Iraq?
I think we probably do, honestly.
Good.
We got listeners everywhere.
Good, man. Good. We're keeping up the... holding the fort here for you guys.
Man, I gotta... You guys haven't mentioned the Israeli horror film Rabies, man.
That's all the buzz right now, isn't it, then?
It's a good one.
Is it out? Is it out yet?
It is out, and I really have to admit, you know, it's kind of derivative. It's a slasher film, but it's the fact that it's kind of come at it from a different angle. Kind of like the movie The Dead was... it's another zombie movie, but they had a different angle on it, and they did a good job on the dead, and that was Linsdon, South Africa. Now this one here, I don't want to give anything away. All I can say is it's an Israeli horror film. It's got a different perspective on things, but it's very well made, and I urge people to check it out because it's kind of different. It's kind of fun.
My main problem with it, and first of all, as a side issue, can we please stop making movies with Of the Dead in them? It's done, okay? Shaun of the Dead was the final word. It isn't funny anymore. Dorm of the Dead isn't funny. Donna of the Dead isn't funny. Sorry. Time to just retire it. Anyway, but The Dead, you know, it was good for what they're trying to do. But the thing is, having seen 150 zombie movies in my lifetime, or 500 or whatever, it has to be more than just a zombie movie. This was just a zombie movie. It was half of the movie was we're in a jam. How do we get away from the zombies? Well, we've seen that. I'm sorry, that isn't that interesting to me anymore. You know, maybe if I hadn't seen 500 movies, that it would seem kind of fresh. But really, the only thing I thought that was fresh was the racial thing, which wasn't even really touched on. But since it takes place in South Africa, and the protagonist is white, most of the zombies are black. You got a white guy running around shooting black guys in the head, and no mention made of it. That was kind of an interesting subtext. I didn't dislike the movie. I would not recommend it. It's just, I guess I'm too jaded when it comes to zombies.
Well, Todd's saying rabies. Maybe you can find a torrent and grab that.
Hey!
I'm just kidding. Don't grab a torrent.
Is there any theatrical for it, Todd? Or
I don't think so. I know Image put it out, and I'm sure it's available at bmovie.com.
I don't know if it is. Let me take a look. You know, I think it's not brand new. I think that was touring last year, wasn't it?
I think it played theaters then, but it's brand new on video. Yeah. It came out like last week.
And that's available at Family Video? Maybe we can get them to sponsor us. Seems like all the movies are there.
Yeah. They should be.
Another one available on B-Movie that's getting a ton of buzz and is doing very well is House of Flesh Mannequins. Has anyone?
Awful. Freaking awful.
Oh, come on now.
I was
come
furious with that movie. I don't pay money to see a bunch of wankers in my face.
Oh, yeah. That's cinema, man.
It's not cinema. It's sometimes penises. You get a wanker. It's just nonstop. It should have been called the House of Flesh Penises.
Sometimes, well, maybe that's why it's selling so well. I mean,
it's selling so well because, A, it's an Italian-made film, and, B, it's got our buddy, you know, Giovanni, isn't it? You know, John Morgan, our buddy.
Does he get a drill through his face in that?
No, but man, what's really upsetting is,
Get a wanker in his face?
Giovanni Lombardo Radice is in about 10 minutes of the movie, spread out through the running time, incoherent plot. You have no idea what the hell's going on. People are running to and fro, up and down, back and forth, lots of penises. Then we see some guy like jerk off all over the goddamn screen, and then some dude gets stabbed, and then finally at the end we get some gore after about 2 hours of nonstop tedium and penises. So, yeah, I mean, I'm so tired of seeing people jerking off in this movie that someone needed to get... I think the filmmakers should have just saved us all the trouble and went and jerked off and not made the movie.
Hey, that's a bmovie.com title, man. You're killing sales.
I'm going to do everyone a favor. That way bmovie.com doesn't get any hate mail.
Is that part of the 1313 series?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing. Dave Dakota would never even make this movie.
Mr. Ree wanted to know.
In my world, everything is part of the 1313 series.
Yeah. Well, there's another one that just came out, 1313 actor/model. On the cover... And you can imagine who the models are. On the cover, there's, you know, the Abercrombie guys that Mr. Ree likes so much. And then buried way in the back, there's a girl. Way in the back. I mean, like she's like a mile away from these guys. It's almost like, hey, guys, wait, don't take the picture till I get there. That's how far this girl is from the guys on the cover. So we're going to get you a review copy of actor/model. I mean, literally, the movie says what it is. It's an actor who's pissed off and he slashes models.
Well, there you go.
I'm there. As long as there's a couple of soapless shower scenes, I'm there.
Oh. You know, I really enjoyed
Count
the movie.
Count on it, dude. Count on it.
I liked Silent House, the original, and I'm kind of frustrated, even though I'm looking forward to seeing the American version. I'm a little frustrated in the fact that for the press, they're not really saying too much that it's a remake, and that always annoys me. They did the same thing when they had Quarantine come out. No one knew it was a remake, and I'm kind of frustrated because I'm like, let's celebrate the fact that the original was good enough that you wanted to remake it because you have no ideas of your own, Hollywood, and the fact that this gave you some kind of a charge, celebrate it, because the original was a really pretty cool movie. Anyone see that?
And Quarantine, what, Wreck?
Silent, the Silent House. Of course I'm talking about Wreck, and Wreck 2 are brilliant, but Silent House.
Did you see the trailer for Wreck 3 that's floating around?
I haven't got to see it yet.
Yeah, there's a trailer floating around. It goes outside the, it kind of spreads, and then they've set up a part 4, apparently.
Ah, I see.
But yeah, no, I haven't seen Silent House. I don't know what it is. I don't purport to be an expert on these foreign films, but I'm open. What is it about? It's like Silent
Well, I can't
Hill.
Really tell you what it's about. Or it ruins it. But it's supposed to be all done in one take. Of course, they cheat it.
Oh, that's coming out. The remake is they've been promoting the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
So that's kind of what's going on with that.
Have you and you've seen the remake and the original?
Yeah, I have not seen the remake yet. I'm going to see it this weekend. I could see it tonight at midnight, but I don't think I'll make it.
Okay, so you're going to skip John Carter and you're going to see Silent House.
I am, because John Carter makes me mad because their advertising campaign is like, before there was a Star Wars, there was John Carter. Yes, technically there was, but let me tell you something. It did not inspire Star Wars. Star Wars was inspired by Akira Kurosawa.
Somewhat.
I mean, it really reminded me a lot of The Hidden Fortress.
Somewhat, yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's no secret. Lucas makes no... Is Silent House the one with a daughter and a father or something trying to renovate a house or something?
Yeah.
Okay. I have heard of this film. The name just didn't hit with me, I guess because I had seen a trailer... or some kind of promotion for it under its Spanish language title. Anyway, okay.
Now, what was the reasoning behind dropping of Mars from John Carter?
Yeah.
They're a bunch of crackers. They don't know what they're doing.
I don't know. It's Disney, man. They can do what they want.
But they can make us mad all they want.
It's so silly. I mean, you see a listing for a movie called John Carter, it could be... a George Clooney political drama.
It sounds like a boring movie, that's for sure. Yeah,
I wouldn't look at a movie called John Carter. I don't know what that is.
Especially if it says Disney's John Carter at 8 p.m. and you're like, I'm going to, you know, let's go. It must be a new
Zac Efron film.
Yeah, exactly. John Carter's coming of age story.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're trying. I don't understand what it is that they're trying. And you know what? The movie looks horrible in that they just keep showing the same. It looks like it all takes place in one location. That's the trailers are so bad.
Yeah, it takes place right outside the Sahara there in Vegas. Like, it's right in the backyard of the Sahara.
It looks like it takes place in like a sand pit. Like the whole movie, like the beginning, middle, and end all take place, and then this big giant white monster comes out at the end.
Made me not want to see it exactly. Is the monster, because I love monsters, but I'm tired of CGI monsters, so I said I'm not paying to see anymore. You know what? PlayStation 3 games look better than that. I don't mean to be negative tonight.
On a bad trip, dude.
Dude, I'm at my wit's end. I feel like I've been like blowing money trying to be entertained, and I've been really disappointed. I mean, just like the Thing remake when they went in, and at the 11th hour... Not only did they... What a slap in the face to those artists, man. What a slap in the face when you worked for months and months to make these cool makeup effects with, you know, these creatures. And then at the 11th hour, they go in and go, let's just put CGI there instead. And they cut the damn movie up and put these CGI things where the makeup guys use. It's like that movie Darkness Falls did the same thing. They had that really cool tooth fairy that Stan Winston made, right? And, at the 11th hour, they cut that out and put some stupid CGI thing in it. And I was like, the movie stunk anyway. But now Stan is no longer with us, and that would have been one of his last creations, and I'm really bummed that we didn't get to see it, because some idiot in a chair that used to be the manager for Applebee's is now deciding what I get to see at a movie theater. All right, I'm better.
You know what I love about this, Mr. Ree and Todd, is that movies really do hate you, Todd, and you're getting under your skin. And
it's not
so
the
happy.
Movies. It's the damn people who are hiring advertising executives to run studios. It used to be people who actually worked on movies. This is true. You know this is true. A guy starts out as a gaffer, works his way up, becomes a production assistant, becomes a damn director, line producer, whatever. He works his way up, and suddenly one day he might be head of that studio. Not anymore, because they don't care about talent. They don't want people that know how films are made. They just want someone who's good at marketing. So let's go over here and hire this guy from Applebee's who's never even touched a camera in his whole life to run an entire movie studio. Really? What the hell's that? So it doesn't. That's why we can't go to the movie theater and be entertained half the time, because it's like, oh, it's a great marketing concept. Too bad the people involved had no idea how a movie is made.
Well, I think you're blanketing. You know, there's good within the.
Well, I agree. There is. I'm just saying that right now, 70% of what's out there at the theaters is dreck.
This guy's blowing out the speakers. He's so mad. Do you hear?
I'm angry, man.
Dropping out and everything.
I'm angry.
All right. We're all angry, man. We're all angry, and we understand. It's going to be all right. I'm telling you. It's going to be all right. There are
We're not going to take it. There are
more independent movies. We ain't going to take it. Listen to this guy. You're killing this. Mr. Ree is covering his ears. There are more independent choices now than ever before. These things you're speaking about.
Yeah, and most of them are riding in cars.
These things you're speaking about have been the case in Hollywood for 30 years. I mean, MBAs have been brought into Hollywood. This just didn't happen yesterday, man.
Kind of did, actually. In the last, I'd give it the last 10 years it's been this way. And here's why. Think about it. In the 80s and the early 90s, we were still getting movies that had creativity. I mean, In the Mouth of Madness is an underrated film. A lot of people don't like it. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was brilliant. I loved Sam Neill. I loved John Carpenter's direction. I thought it was a beautiful film to look at. And it had cool rubber creatures sliming everywhere.
You're coming from this like kind of like purist fan place. I mean, you know, In the Mouth of Madness is, I mean, to me, it's a horrible film. It was a real misfire, but I appreciate the attempt. But, you know, somebody's going to, you know, at the end of the day, these people have to make money, you know? They would love to do stuff that you and five other people will go see and love and talk about on blogs, but that doesn't pay their rent.
I'm going to tell you something. Event Horizon was another one during that same period that I adored. Now it's a cult classic, but during the time it came out, you know, it fought an uphill battle because people, number one, were telling them, oh, sci-fi doesn't sell and this doesn't work and that. They made the movie their way, and it's a fantastic movie. I know a lot of people, it is debatable about In the Mouth of Madness, but I got to tell you, I absolutely love that movie, and I just think it's really creative. And it's actually closer to some of the writings of Lovecraft than almost anything else that's been put out.
Yeah, it's an overplayed author on film, hey?
It'd be good if they just get it right once.
Is this stuff public domain? Is that why everyone makes a Lovecraft movie?
I think some of it is.
Assuming it is, yeah. Another movie that bombed at the box office and is a huge cult hit is The Thing, the original Thing. Not
I know.
The original,
God,
the
I love
Carpenter's
it.
Remake.
Right.
When Carpenter was making good movies.
I still love Carpenter. I like The Ward. I liked The Ward.
I can't talk to you anymore.
Let me explain something. It was a little bit fluffy, a little bit light, but I still enjoyed The Ward, and here's why. Because it felt good to watch a movie that was made by a craftsman who knows how to make a movie again. I mean, I'm so tired of the shaky cam, the found footage, the every time a monster attacks or a killer comes on screen. It's just like in Rob Zombie's Halloween 2, which is an abomination anyway, but every time Michael Myers steps on screen, suddenly the film, the camera guy gets epilepsy. I don't know what's going on, but it's a nice shot, and all of a sudden, he's spazzing out. I don't get it. It's like, guys, and Rob, you come from a filmmaking background. Mr. Ree, you as well. When I went to film school, if you shook the camera like that, you got a friggin' F. It's not a style. It's a choice to try to hide things because you don't have the talent to pull it off.
I totally agree.
Oh, I think in some cases, and I think sometimes it's effective for the shot. I mean, you can make the same argument about, you know, I don't know, Scorsese, like, you know, panning for 10 minutes with a song playing on something that is a 2 second piece of information.
Well, at least it doesn't make your eyes blow out.
Yeah, but it makes you bored. I mean, what's different? You know, what's different about that? It's just as unconventional. When you got this panning shot up to like a dead body for 10 minutes, you don't need it.
That's true.
It gives us the romanticism to the dead body, the same way a Rob Zombie is romanticizing using, you know, an accepted style.
It's a cliche, and it's not a style. Let's not use the word style. Let's use the word lack of.
It's a style. It's cinema verite.
God dang it, dude. Any 3-year-old, you could hand him a Fisher-Price camera, and you're going to get the same thing. It's not a style.
Come on.
Well, I think the difference between those two things is the Scorsese's 15-minute panning shot. Like it or not, at least there's a reason that he's doing it, and it's thought out, and anybody who's worked on movies knows it takes a lot of work to get that right.
I don't disagree with his decision.
The other side of that is, it doesn't take anybody can just swirl a camera around.
But I'm telling you guys, I think that there is no, like in any other discussion, there is no black and white. It's not, Rob Zombie doesn't walk on the set, and I've never been on his set, and I'm guessing. Rob Zombie doesn't walk on the set and set up a scene and then tell the camera guy, yeah, just spin around, whatever. I got to go have a coffee. That's not how it happens. That's as thought out as the Scorsese panning shot, but that's just his style. And he's doing something he likes. He's doing something he thinks people want to see. He's doing something because, yeah, every time he comes on screen, there's chaos. So I want it to be chaotic. I mean, that's how he might have sold it to the cameraman, and then that's how it played out. I mean, there are hundreds of decisions made, especially in a big movie like that. There are 30 people standing around. There's people checking what he's doing. There's people in the editing suite. It's not like, you know, you or I shot something, we take it home and edit it, and then we put it out, and there's no, you know, there's this line of people who made that decision together to say, yes, that's good. Or yes, that's what we're going to present. It's the cameraman just didn't throw the camera against the wall, and you saw whatever was the result of that.
Well, I gotta interject here on one thing, and that is, like in a movie like Quarantine, I agree with you totally, because they were trying to, these were filmmakers that knew how to use a camera, but they were trying to emulate what would happen if some Joe on the street just happened to grab a camera, and then they had to match. The reason I felt that was artistic, they had to match all that matting and all the movements in the camera to the effects that they were doing. As you saw, a lot of that was on a green screen. So the buildings were there. They built the buildings, but there was a green screen behind it. So they had to match all that. That was kind of a different story. And I believe in Rec and Rec 2, I know you've seen those, they do it to a good effect because they don't shake it so much that you've lost all focus like this last Exorcism piece of trash that was out. It's gotten to the point now where, like the movie Gamer, they shook the camera because they thought it would add intensity to the action scenes, when in reality it made it a complete chore because you couldn't even figure out who was fighting who. And then they tried that crap again on Alien vs. Predator, that last one, where not only did they not know how to light the scene, it was so dark you couldn't even see who was even in the scene, but then they were shaking the camera every time the alien or predator stepped on the screen. It was like shake, 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 and so you got basically these little thin blue lines shaking everywhere because they A, couldn't light it, and B, couldn't figure out even how to shoot an action scene. Now it's become a lazy tool. Oh, there's action, we got to make it intense, shake the camera. Well, let's not do that. Let's go like Jackie Chan says, making movie in America, no good for Jackie. People cannot follow action, they do not follow me. And I agree with Jackie Chan. These guys have become too lazy. We need to go. I mean, look at how they shoot an action scene in Asia in the Chinese films and in the Japanese martial arts classics. And then let's do that. Let's kind of look at what they've done and try to go back to that school of thought. I think it'd make it a lot easier for an audience to kind of get into the action if I wasn't just trying to figure out who the hell got killed.
Yeah. Is this all due to Law and Order? Has it come to? For that.
Well, hell, they don't even shake the camera on Law and Order like that. I mean, Jesus. You'd be seasick.
What bothers me is his handheld when it doesn't need to be handheld. I don't mind the shaking the camera if there's a reason for it. But
an earthquake?
the kind of jittery handheld that's supposed to, I guess, make it more intimate or more, I don't know, chaotic or something. But it's so overused that sometimes there's no reason for the camera to be shaking a little bit. I scream out, like, get a tripod, you know, lock that camera down. There's no reason for it to be shaking in this.
Well, I think, you know, I think there's a perception from the other end of the spectrum, the people making this stuff, is that that's what, you know, our demographic is blah, blah, blah. It has to look like a video game. It has to have the craziness. If you play a video game, there's stuff happening all around you, and you're not necessarily catching it all, and then you're dead because you didn't notice something. So, you know, we might be out of the demographic that is fine with that and doesn't even realize that it's some kind of derivative thing. I mean, I blame Tony Scott for that kind of filmmaking. I think his movies are unwatchable for that reason. And I wish more action films were made in like the John McTiernan style, where you saw the action. You know, there wasn't any of that. If it happened, it happened, you know, minimal. But, you know, those days are over, you know, to a certain degree, until someone does it the old way, and it makes a lot of money. And then they're going to say, oh, I want it to look like that, because that's what it is. You know, they're looking at numbers on a chart. They're looking at performance numbers. They're looking at, you know, how many likes it's got or tweets or whatever, and they're basing it on that. So if you know, 50 million people go see Paranormal Activity 3, then there's going to be a part 4, and there's going to be 4 movies like it with the same camera style. And those aren't bad films, and those are filmmakers, and they do tell a story, and it's done well. So I don't want to hear that, oh, well, that's just shaky cam stuff. To me, it's not. But I understand the argument. But I think you have to look at it in the context of today. And we might want that old stuff because that's what we grew up on. But there's somebody now growing up on Paranormal Activity, and that's just normal to them. And when they see Predator or Die Hard, it's slow. Or they watch Commando, one of the slowest it's one of the it's one of my favorite films of all time. It's one of the most brilliant comic book come to life movies ever made. It's not based on a comic book, but it's slow. I've watched it recently. It's slow because we're living in a faster world than in 1985 or 87 when that came out. We live in a minute, second to second, microsecond to microsecond world. And people go see movies are still in that. Gamer was made for 14-year-olds.
But
Gamer,
my son hated it because he couldn't tell what was going on. And he was the demographic.
But some kid at school said, hey, how was Gamer? It was cool.
No, but they don't. They say, well, it would have been fine if I could see what was happening. I mean, and this isn't the only time, just came out.
January. It came out in January.
The latest one, and it had the mother. Yeah, okay. When I was there, the entire crowd, and I mean, it was packed. For the most part, people were groaning and complaining about the camera work because it was ridiculously shaky when it didn't need to be. I mean, just on a line of dialogue between two people sitting at a table, the cameraman was shaking so bad that it looked like it was during an earthquake in Los Angeles. And I'm not exaggerating. Wait till you see it. I'm not kidding. The thing is, it doesn't have to be that. Now, if he's running away from a demon, okay. But when you're just, what kind of a cameraman from a TV studio? I would be fired back in the day when I started at Time Warner and I was doing camera work before I got hired as the director. I would be fired if I did camera work like that. What kind of an idiot, epileptic fool sits there and shakes the camera while someone's just having a line of dialogue? Can you not stand still?
Yeah, well, again, that's the, you know, we're going to do this whole thing as if it's real, and I think it was called The Devil Inside.
But you know what? The audience was complaining, everyone was unhappy, and the number one thing I saw in the reviews, all the reviews said, it's time to stop shaking the camera, guys.
It's come and gone, it's been overdone, like every, you know, other genre at some point. Was just overdone. At some point, Hollywood stopped making Westerns because people just got sick of seeing the same friggin' town over and over again in these movies. Whatever, you know what I mean? It's just, okay, ran its course. I mean, that will inspire people to, you know, what's going to happen is, you know, we're sitting here complaining about it or debating it, and so are hundreds of new filmmakers around the world saying, yeah, let's not do that crap, you know? But the first 4 guys that did that created it, it was fresh and it felt good and they got praise and maybe the movie made money, whatever it was, but now that's over. So we're at the end of this cycle and now something else is going to happen. You know, and there's a show on right now called The River on ABC. It's kind of like a little like Lost, if you liked Lost, but it's done in that style where everything's filmed. The whole it's a TV show where the host disappears in the Amazon jungle, and his family and friends go to find him, and they get financed by the same TV station that did the original show. He was like a crocodile hunter kind of guy, that kind of show, a nature show, and. You know, it's quite interesting because everything is filmed and it's all these different cameras, but it's pretty seamless. It's not done with a lot of shaky. When there's an actual person like running through the jungle, it gets a little shaky, or you know. But then there happens to be cameras they've set up in the jungle at that same point, so they'll cut to that to kind of break it out. So it's already people are starting to play with that, and then it'll cut to like old TV footage from the actual show, so that's crystal clear HD kind of looking. So, there are workings within even that subgenre of shaky cam that's been invented that can be dealt with.
All right, I'll let Mr. Reek take over here.
Where are we on time, Mr. Producer?
We've got about a minute and a half.
Jeez, I don't like that. There are two things I wanted to talk about this week, and I'm not going to be able to. Then we were talking about hating Hollywood. Did you hear there's this guy in Michigan suing over the prices of popcorn?
Oh, geez.
Yeah. He's not going to win, of course. But he's saying that they're price gouging the soda and popcorn because he can go to the store and get a bottle of Coke for $1, but he has to pay $6 at the theater, and popcorn's, you know, everybody knows popcorn's practically free if you go buy it anywhere, but it's like $8 at the theater. So he's complaining. But I think he's going to fail. Joshua Thompson, that's his name, if anybody wants to Google that and follow his little story there. But it's the same thing if you go to, like, see a sports game. I mean, apparently all these places claim they make their money on the foods, and you see theaters now becoming restaurants. That's the trend.
Yeah.
So you're going to go, and you're going to buy $12 chicken fingers. I'm sorry, that's just how it's going to be. You're going to an event. A movie is an event. Just like a concert. I mean, you know, but listen, I was going to get into that this week, but we don't need to. It's not a big story. But the other big story is if you're in the New York area, the 16th of March, am I right, Mr. Ree? 16th of March, one of my cinematic heroes is going to be in New York City, and I'm going to go see him. There, Hal Needham, stuntman, director, and you talked about Jackie Chan earlier. Hal Needham's the one who invented putting the bloopers in the end credits, and Jackie Chan stole that from him. And not stole it; they were friends. But do you know who Hal Needham is, Todd?
Yep.
I had a Hal Needham toy when I was a kid. I still have the box, and you would spring this. It was called the Stuntman, and he had all these props you could buy, and he had this little like posable guy, and you could like send him off, rocket him through a window that would break, or break a chair over his head. And it was an actual set. It was a set going with the stuntman. And I mean, stuntmen, they used to be sexy. I mean, we don't talk about stuntmen anymore.
There aren't even stunts anymore, are there? I mean,
there are stunts. Of course there are. No, of course there are stunts. I mean, have you watched a movie in the last 10 years?
I'm kidding, but. Like 2 years ago, I actually watched a stunt being filmed in Manhattan for a Will Ferrell, Marky Wahlberg movie. I forget what it was called. The Other Guys,
like
comedy, whatever. But the scene was Sam Jackson, I think, and The Rock were these. I don't know who they were playing. I didn't see the movie, but it was they were falling out of a building, and it was probably like 15-20 stories up. In Midtown Manhattan, and they had guys on bungee cords, and they were stuntmen, obviously, and it was really cool. Quite a crowd gathered, and we watched, and finally, after about half an hour of watching them set it up, they jumped, and they fell all the way to the ground, and they got caught, you know, 2 feet from the ground, whatever, and that was it. It was a wrap. They did one take. That was it.
Well, we're out of time. We would love to hear this pedestrian story about Will Ferrell movie. Well, you can save it for next time. Hal Needham's coming to New York. You know what that means, man? That's like, come on, the Dalai Lama is here. You know, the man who made Megaforce. One of the worst but best movies ever made. And it was a better Atari game because I had that too. I was Cannonball a Hal Needham freak. Cannonball Run. Come on, of course. Smokey and the Bandit. What were you born? Yeah. What were you born yesterday? You don't know who Hal Needham is? If you're Hooper. In New York, you better go see him. Hooper, of course. Of course. The list is endless. Cannonball Run, the best American movie ever made. He did stunts for John Wayne. He did over 5,000 TV show stunts. Do you know there were four? I'm telling you, there were how many Smoking the Bandit movies were there, Mr. E?
There were three, and in fact, the third one, there's a bit of a holy grail of lost films. You know about this? The third
Forget
film
it. Made. You're wrong. There are seven. There are seven.
Oh, there's the TV movies. Go ahead. Yeah, he did some TV movies.
He made four Smoking the Bandit TV films. Anyway, not only that, he made the movie Rad, R-A-D, Rad, yes, the BMX movie, still unreleased on DVD. So go to hell, all of you. Get to New York, see Hal Needham. Mr. Reed, we could talk about Hal Needham next. We should do a whole Hal. We should call him up and get him on this show.
I bet you could. I bet we should.
Hell, man. And Dar Robinson, all these guys, man. Remember The Fall Guy? I mean, it was a TV show about stuntmen. It was big. Anyway.
Stuntmen don't get
the props they used to get, and they should.
I agree.
Like Stuntman Mike in Death Proof, Tarantino Death Proof. Stuntman Mike trying to explain to the girls who he was.
Forget it.
They have no idea. He's talking about Robert Urich. He's talking about the Virginian, etc.
That's Tarantino's homage to these guys. You know, it's just like, you know, unfortunately he made him a psycho killer, but you know, it's just. Megaforce. Have you ever seen Megaforce? If you haven't, you're an idiot. Ace Hunter. Henry Silva. Come on. Okay, so Hal Needham in New York. Where, Mr. Reed? The 92Y?
92Y, but the downtown one, the Tribeca one.
On what date?
March 16th. I think it's a Wednesday.
12 bucks? I think it's $12.
Actually, the 16th would be a Friday, if that's true. Okay. $12 for admission. Yeah, he'll probably be signing autographs afterwards, I would imagine. So.
And I didn't even mention the best part. They're going to be screening with Hal Needham sitting there. His movie, Body Slam. Never heard of that one. Oh yeah, the wrestling movie with Roddy Piper. Yeah, that one. Dirk Benedict. Okay. Yeah. Friday, March 16th, 7:30 p.m., the 92Y Tribeca screening room. It's on Hudson Street, New York. I have nothing to do with it. I'm going to be there as a fan. I'm just saying, get out there, represent, show the love. Yeah.
We're over.
We're over time. This has been Movies Hate You. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for loving us. MoviesHateYou@gmail.com. We are sponsored by bmovie.com. Go there, buy stuff. Good night. I'm your-